Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Beth McGrath, Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us from IBM is John Bonglas. Beth, given the significant fiscal and economic pressures the country is facing, DoD leadership has embarked on a department-wide cost-cutting effort with a particular emphasis on business operations. Would you tell us more about DoD's efforts to cut costs and realize savings? And what are some of the key initiatives being pursued within the department to do just that?
Well, as everybody is certainly well aware, Secretary Gates, actually it was August 9th of last year, announced the various initiatives across the department. I believe there were four tracks when he made his speech, in pursuit of the $100 million in overhead savings over the next 5 years, really trying to move some of what we refer to as tail into tooth, so some of the support functions into our overarching mission, sort of the national security mission. We also sought ideas from various entities, the DoD workforce being one of them, the think tanks, if you will, and boards like the Defense Science Board and the Defense Business Board. Again, looking for ideas and lessons learned, experience from these various bodies and institutions. And then we really overall assessed, how are we organized? Are we organized in a way that optimizes the things we want to do? Or is there opportunity to make changes? And certainly, folks wanted to take a look at all the overhead functions that were performed, particularly at OSD and Office of Secretary of Defense, to see if there was an opportunity, again, to focus our efforts more holistically and not from a bifurcated perspective. And so I, along with Secretary Hale, have had the opportunity to track many of these initiatives. And so what we wanted to do is ensure that we've got plans in place, project plans, if you will, in place that will enable the realization of the savings that were identified in the 12 budget that was sent over to the Hill. And so Secretary Hale and I have put, an automated type process in place with accountability at the various senior levels to say, are you going to achieve the savings that you've identified? Is there more that you've learned that maybe it wasn't such a good idea, so we needed to course correct if necessary? Are you at risk of achieving those, and if so, why? The personnel piece, the personnel savings, the freezing of the personnel levels at the 2010 caps are the thing that is the one area that people are most challenged with. But we are looking at attrition, various tools that from an HR perspective that we can employ so that we're not adversely impacting or separating individuals. And then I specifically had the opportunity with Secretary Hale to pursue the disestablishment of the Business Transformation Agency. That was an agency that worked for me, and we were able to identify areas that would logically move to the Defense Logistics Agency from a systems oversight perspective. They do some of that work today, take advantage of the infrastructure that they had. And then, as I previously mentioned, many of those functions that were executed but overseen by my office are moving now into my office, but at significantly lower levels than reduced levels than existed before.
Beth, I'm going to ask you a question here on healthcare. We all know it's critical, and it's more than actually not healthcare per se, but health technology. I understand in the field of health IT, DoD and the Department of Veterans Affairs have committed to a full and seamless electronic exchange and record portability of healthcare information. Could you tell us a little more about your role in moving this vision to reality and some of the complexities perhaps and some of the issues around that?
So, yes, I actually have a significant role in the health IT. It reminds me of when you said, what is your job description? And this was not in it. But it is an opportunity that has come my way. And we have put a very focused effort, and I was introduced into this space, if you will, in the December timeframe. Frankly, it was a Saturday session with many, many people, both in DoD and VA, where we talked about really what is the way we collectively want to go. So each department was pursuing its own path toward the modernization of our respective legacy environments. Actually, it was Secretary Gates, after meeting with Secretary Shinseki from VA, sent a little note that said, hey, why don't you all come see us and tell us what your recommendation is on a on the way ahead? Is it separate where we can interface? Is it interoperable? Or is it, do we both use the same system? And after many, many conversations, we came back in and have agreed to pursue this joint common platform for electronic health records. And so for us to be standard at the data level really enables us to be interoperable in a, very much a real-time basis. VA has also agreed to move their data centers into our DISA data centers, and so our we'll all be together again, so we'll pull in from the same data sources. We're working all the service level agreements right now with, you know, between DISA and VA. And then to the extent that we can use common clinical applications, we will, based on, again, the architecture and standard interfaces. Many of our business processes could be the same. We are doing the business process work. We want to ensure that we've done the business process re-engineering, have the doctors blessed. That's the process, you know, that we want to use, and then pursue an application after that. And so, and it also aligns to where the federal space is going from a health information technology. I actually also am the DOD representative to the National Health Information Technology Task Force, again, so that we're aligned with where Health and Human Services is going and the Office of the National Coordinator. And so that is a very important space, very much on the minds of certainly Secretary Shinseki. He and Secretary Panetta very recently met, agreed to, you know, stay on the same path. And in fact, we're prepping for a briefing to the two of them in the September timeframe.
So may I ask a follow-up? Is this beyond the conversation of whether it's VISTA or ALTA, or is this goes to the core of that conversation?
So we answered that question. It's that it's neither, yeah. And but that was and has been a question I've learned for a very long time. Neither solution is the optimal solution for either of us. And so we really are taking this standards-based, data-driven approach, common architecture, common data standards, and then common applications, you know, where it makes sense.
Beth, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO, updates its high-risk list every 2 years. I understand in 2009, DOD accounted for half of the 30 areas identified in that list. And yet, DOD has made tremendous strides in improving personnel security clearance program, reducing backlogs and speeding up processes. I'd like for you to elaborate on your efforts in this area. What has been done to improve this enterprise-wide process, and to what extent have you used Lean Six Sigma to contribute to this effort?
So we spend a lot of time with our partners in the Government Accountability Office, and I would just like to say that DOD owns on its own 8 of the 30 and then shares another 7, which is how we get to we own half. In the personal security clearance area, again, it was very much focused not only on the DOD backlog and transaction time, it was focused on the federal space because there were issues across the federal government about the backlog and then the time it took to actually get a security clearance. And so it was really a partnership with the Office of Personnel Management, who is the main investigative service provider for the federal government, the Office of Management and Budget, and the management side, the Deputy Director for Management, and the Office of the Director for National Intelligence, the DNI. And it really took everyone to do their piece, both the policy, process, and information technology, to enable us to get off the high-risk list. And so Lean Six Sigma, that is where we started. We essentially locked everyone in a room and said, we need to re-look at the process. I mean, is there something in the process that we should change? Because it was established back in the J. Edgar Hoover days, and it may or may not be relevant to today. And so we said, well, let's take a look. And we did discover that there were changes that ought to be made in the federal investigative standards. And we had the people at the table, being the Office of Personnel Management and the Director of National Intelligence, because they own security policy from a federal perspective. So they are the policy owners, if you will, you know, step up and make changes to those federal investigative standards. And then we looked at the backlog, really put a lot of people on it in addition to IT, and we're able to take 100,000 case backlog for DOD down to zero. So that, to me, is a significant improvement. Also, Our average security clearance time back then was 165 days. That was in 2006. And today it's roughly about 47 days. And so, I mean, that's tremendous. And part of what we also did from a security clearance process perspective, is there anything we could do from an IT perspective that could also speed up? I mean, could the system do, could the IT perform some of the functions that the people do today? And as it turns out, for secret clearances only, we established business rules that said if it's a clean case, so no issues identified from the investigator, if we coded the case as clean, let the system just process it, as opposed to somebody validating, opening the package, validating. And we now, we call electronically adjudicate, e-adjudication, secret clearances, and it's about, we run somewhere between 25 and 30% of the secret clearances are clean. No issues identified. Again, all done by business rules. For 3 months, we did 100% check, you know, validation, and found that, no, you know, everything was working the way it was supposed to be working. And so we do still, you know, spot checks on those to make sure. But really invoked the technology along with the policy change and the process change to bring it into, I'm going to say, today, and bring it to be a lot more relevant.
So what are you doing to tackle the other DoD programs or functions that remain on the high risk list? And maybe you can highlight some of the progress to date in those areas.
When Secretary Lynn came into office as a deputy secretary, we sat down with the high risk list, and I said, I think two of these are close, that we could get them off. And I said, I think we can get the personal security clearance one off, and I think infrastructure management, that's the facilities. I will predict that that this one will come off the next time GAO publishes. And I would be so bold as to say that if GAO published in 2012, January 2012, that would come off at that time. And it's not by accident. It's because we take a very deliberate management approach to these. We sit down with GAO and say, well, what does it take? The goalpost can't move. It has to stay stagnant. We have to understand the target that we're aiming for and then, again, make the changes in the overarching business. And it's not just to get off the list. It's to make improvement in those areas. Another area that I think we're making great strides in is the business transformation piece. Of course, that's my area. And, you know, I pay a lot of attention to it, but we are working very closely with GAO. And it's all about, do you have the structure in place to proactively manage the business environment within your organization? And that's really what we're doing.
Beth, could you please elaborate on your approach to empowering your employees? How do you lead change? And would you elaborate again on how you would seek to foster a results-oriented performance culture?
I actually, in addition to my teaming opportunities, I'll say at work, I still coach girls basketball. And so you really learn a lot. I bring it up because you learn a lot from coaching kids, or really coaching in general, because every member of the team has a different thing they bring to the table. Either someone's a good dribbler or someone's tall and they're inside. I mean, that you really want to optimize their contribution to the overall objective. And in basketball, which I love, it's really easy to identify the overall objective, right? It is still to win. Yes, and to have fun for all the parents out there. But it is to win and is to really make the kids better and for them to grow. And so, and you can track your performance by various, you know, measures, one being the score, the other being turnover, number of rebounds, and those kinds of things. And so, you know, to apply that thought process to work, I think, is very easy. And I think that's why many times people have, you know, good coaches, notable coaches come in and talk to executives, both in industry and government, because it's how do you make an effective team and how do you sustain that kind of performance, even when you bring different people in year after year?
What does the future hold for management at the U.S. Department of Defense? We will ask Beth McGrath, Deputy Chief Management Officer at DoD, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.